Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy and let's get into it.
Welcome back everyone to The Last Lap podcast, in your ears, in your eyes if you're watching on YouTube. And Niren, I think this is one that if people can choose this time to watch on YouTube,
yes,
and maybe not so much on audio only, although you should follow us on Spotify,
yeah,
Apple Podcasts and all
say,
that.
Yeah.
I think this is a video visual one, if any.
Yeah. You're gonna see things today that aren't put into words.
No, you truly can't.
On the audio version.
Words will never do it justice.
Words will escape us.
Because today's guest is just that handsome. Mm. Welcome.
I've never been called that in my life. I'm honored to be here.
Miles of MDM Designs. Show off the t-shirt as well. Plug the
brand.
MDMdesigns.co.uk.
Yes, the one.
Miles, thank you so much for coming today.
No problem at all.
Now, obviously, the title of this podcast will give away certainly what you do, but let everyone know watching, who are you, what do you do, and why are you relevant to the world of Formula One?
So I am a helmet designer for a batch of the F1 drivers on the grid, lucky position to be in, where I do the helmet design for George Russell, Lando Norris, Alex Albon, Sergio Perez, and new for this year, we've got Oscar Piastri and Logan Sargeant, so certainly keep me busy at the moment.
Busy, man. And we were saying before we started recording, now is kind of crunch time, season's about to start, we've got a week till testing. How has it been, this kind of start of 2023? Is this your busiest time of the year?
Yeah, so our busiest time is normally say like end of November to say like mid-February is always the busiest time, mainly because a mixture of obviously people wanting everything for Christmas, New Year, and F1 season rolls into that. We're quite lucky that most of the F1 stuff we did a lot of it before December. Mm-hmm. Like even if we didn't have like all the guidelines and everything, just to like say end of the year, they're ready. We'll see it in January and just see if any chaos assumes from there, which it did, because it always does. It's January and it's like, oh, it's done, but it isn't done. So they always have little bits and bobs they change from there. But yeah, it's mixing then the F1 stuff and then the normal bread and butter, all the customers from the karting, like DTM, GT races. We cover all of it. So it's balancing it all up at this time of year where you just got a lot of hours getting across the board. It's not even just helmets. It's like we do like the delivery designs, website designs. So it's like this time of year, just like flat out, go bang, bang, bang. Well, actually quite happy to get out of the office, to be fair, to come down here.
Well, how many clients would you say you've got at the moment?
Really? I don't want to look. I don't even want to sound like big-headed of it, but it's like it's a lot to do. It gets to a point where you're just going through the list, making sure you're doing everything that the customer wants and getting it through and not speeding through them. So you end up doing like a half-assed job on one because it looks worse. Then you've got to make sure every single one is done to their spec and the best you can. Mm. So you've got to treat each one with the most care possible. And yeah, just keep some sanity really with the workload.
Well, you've brought something along with you today. Mm. I actually got a little sneak peek earlier, but you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it at all. I haven't.
So, Miles, do you want to bring it up on the table? Put it prime position between the two of you.
So, here we have. Do you want me to introduce it, or do you want to introduce it?
You do it. Go for it.
So, we've brought with us an actual F1 race helmet from the 2022 season. So, this is George's mid-season when he changed to blue helmet. So this will have been one of the ones that was used for the final part of the season. This, I believe, will be one of the wet versions. So this will have gone to Brazil. It wasn't the Brazil winning helmet, but it will have gone to it there. So we thought, bring it in the flesh so you can see the helmet. It's got all the spoilers and everything on it, all full of tear-offs. It doesn't have the radio because, I don't know, they thought I might steal it or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, big thanks to Mercedes for letting us bring this up today. It was quite short notice, but we got it
absolutely
all here.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so that is one of the pieces of work in the flesh.
Nero and Corn, pick it up, mate. Have a feel. Talk through.
I tell you what, yeah, that's lighter than I thought it would be.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It is.
That's very well light. Obviously, it has to be. It makes sense because, you know, you don't want to have like a boulder attached to your forehead.
Well, especially if you're pulling 5Gs through Magello.
Oh, exactly.
Absolutely.
So the spoilers and stuff. So you've got the sort of clear, what is the what actually is?
Yeah, the aerodynamic elements.
Is it just aerodynamic elements?
Yeah, so this one, the Merc one, this is a custom one for them. And then they had this for the first half of the season, the standard Bell one that they have a few different lengths for.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got to the mid-season when Merc have done their package. They've just, pretty similar to like what used to have on his RI. He used to have his own custom spoiler on that.
Yeah.
So they're basically the same, just to basically streamline it into the airbox.
One day I want to see our actual rear wings on the helmets as well.
That's the point of aero that we're going
to
get to.
Active aero. Well, I think at the minute they're just trying to make them all look as small as possible in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, you see like George is actually quite low in the car now, and Lewis, I don't know how he sees over the bloody wheel half the time because he is like proper low. It's almost like looking at him like that.
Yeah.
Well, so this blue, because if you've been following George's career, you know, closely over the years since he joined F1, he hasn't always run the blue, and it feels like this season, because we've seen his helmet for 2023, and it is this bright, is it a brighter blue than this blue?
It's a brighter blue than that. So what we did based on the whole process, like how we started out, when we got to like end of 2021, when we knew the Merc move was happening, it was debating then, do we stick with the red or try something new? Because we tried the red in the postseason test at Abu Dhabi. That's still my fact, that looked really, really good. It gave me that Schumacher vibe. I thought this looks amazing.
That's when he first jumped in the Mercedes, right? Yeah.
So that's still my favourite one, personally.
That was
really
nice.
Obvious to other things you thought, instead of like almost running like a Schumacher replica, basically, in that aspect, it looked like from the front, to go his own direction. So that's when we play around with the black, the blue. We tried like a batch of different colours. So what we do is we'll send him like, on a sheet, there'll be like 9 different colorways on the design saying, what do you think of these? And then basically it focused them down to a different route. And then from there, the final bits, like any like logo changes we got from Mercedes, we applied in there, and then tweaked a bit more from there what you wanted to try until you get to develop versions. Send that back to him, and then he was just going like this, don't like this, can you try this and this, until you get to the final layout from there.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, how much did George lean on you, or how much was kind of his choice when it comes
George,
to
it's all
to
very
much
George's choice. George is always, he's very much in control of what he wants. He's quite good like that. It makes my job a bit easier.
Yeah.
It's quite rare he'll actually say, what do you think? Because he's always quite set what he likes to do, and it's up to me to then match his expectations from there. Also, another few drivers might say, oh, I'm not too sure about this. What do you think? Or can we try this X, Y, and Z? So some of them will be like, well, Alex is a good example. He's so laid back on it all.
I want to try this. That color will do.
Yeah. But nice. Alex is one of the easiest ones to deal with in that aspect. And you have a few more that'll want to try like everything. Like Lando's very much like that. It's like he'll try a lot of concepts to get the one he wants.
Yeah.
Because he's quite artistic as well. It's good to see someone's like, he like cares about it that much that you'll put the effort in and go from there. Even if you end up like 40 concepts at the end of it, you know, you've exercised pretty much everything to get what he wants at the end of the day.
And obviously there's the design element to this helmet, but also there's the sponsors. It's a livery, isn't it? It's a livery. Yeah. When people think livery, you think of the car, but this is as much a livery design as the car livery design. You've got, I guess there are certain restrictions that are they given by Mercedes where you've got Monster Energy, CrowdStrike, Police, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so most of them, I'll send you over like basically schematic. These are all the logos on there. There are some spaces that might be excluded to have future sponsor spaces. Like Williams done that a few times. McLaren notably did it last year where they had like a split halo next section we cut out because there's like maybe a sponsor going there. So we have to leave it just in case. But yeah, a lot of them, they'll send it like the size they have to be, the location have to be, and like color variants.
Mm-hmm.
Like what it was with CrowdStrike like last year, it had to be either a red band or a white band for George's stuff.
Mm.
So he had to like, when he went to the blue, it's like, oh, this sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
But like, luckily over time, we've been able to get a bit more flexibility. So he can now have black, same as like Lewis has, which helps blend to design for this year.
Right.
Whilst some of the brands are like quite like they say, as long as the helmet has got the logo visible on the background, it's fine. Whilst others will have specific brand colors. Like Monza has to be on black. You can't get around that one. You'll see like when Ferrari were last year, when they had the sponsor they had to take off, it was a white background, had to be that.
Yeah.
So it just changes based on the sponsor and how much wedge they put in, really. It's like I say at the end of the day, they're paying to be on the helmet. They want their brand colours on there.
A certain way as well, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And you just have to just work around it from there.
Well, so Is that kind of, is the balance of logos on a helmet, is that something that's stipulated with the teams, and then the driver will come to you and be like, we need to have this logo and this logo on it, in the same way that a brand would stipulate, oh, I want my logo on the nose of the livery or on the side pod. Or
yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. If I was to show you that the schematic Merck Center, they go to the brand calendar template, these are the allocations, these are the sizes, these are the options you'll have on color scheme, work around that basically. And then we just start from that. A few times with like the few of the teams, they'll have allowances for personal sponsor space.
Okay.
McLaren have been very generous with that. Lando's got all those bits on the side.
Yeah.
Oscar's got the same. He's got one on the chin, for example. So then you can use that flexibility for their brand as well. And they'll have their own sets of guidelines to apply to as well.
So how have, you said you started working with Logan and Oscar this year. Also, haven't seen any high res pictures of Oscar's helmet yet, unless I've just missed them.
I think McLaren didn't take any launch photos.
No.
We normally wait for the proper launch photos to go over any post just so we get clearance that we can do everything like that.
Yeah.
But so we're able to obviously do Lando because he revealed it from there. But Oscars, they've not released any, so we can't post it.
Yeah.
So we just do it on purpose. We have to always get permission for the photographers to use anything on our posts and everything.
Of course.
You don't chant at anyone's toes because, like with McLaren, they have this rolling thing on the visor stickers. They always change them every single time.
Yeah.
And you don't want to like post the wrong one. They say, oh, can you do the other one?
Yeah,
please?
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, if you have to delete an Instagram post and put it back on, it just kills it completely.
Mm-hmm. So how have they been like to work with? Because I know Logan's helmet in particular is really embracing the American flag. Yeah. And yeah. Oscar's has got the Aussie flag on the side. Mm. But yeah, how have they been to work with? Are they quite involved and quite interested in making something? Or are they a bit like, I imagine Kimi Raikkonen probably...
Oscar's laid back. He liked what we did in 2021 and it's barely changed really. That was more for the McLaren to not... They had literally the exact same colour palette apart from Oscar had more red.
Yeah.
Going into town. So I was like thinking, we need to make them look different because from a distance, when Oscar had the one to test, it's like, it was just yellow. So you'd never tell them apart.
Mm.
So look, we've changed it so his is more red in all the key areas with like a bit of yellow, mainly blue. Also, obviously Lando's gone the full... massive flare on carbon, so we have that good difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
Logan's again is a based on the evolution of what he had before, again embracing the American flag, but his is quite straightforward really. He said I want to keep the American theme, change a few little bits of it and just see how it looks from there. So he's like a bit more blue there rather than having the white, because what we noticed when we did the F2 lid is just how dirty it gets.
The carbon
brakes in there, just literally you look like you've been down a mine shaft to see the end of it. So he wanted to get rid of a bit of white in the front, put more blue in, and gone from that.
Fair. You mentioned obviously the process and how like Lando maybe is someone that like scatterguns a few more ideas to you. What's the actual overall process time, do you think, in terms of like from the start of talking about a design to finishing?
It varies on the brief and how customers, but it can be anywhere between, on average I'd probably say between like 4 to 20 hours it can be in total for like per customer. It just depends on what they want to go through really.
Yeah,
from there.
That's not actually that. I thought it'd be
more to be fair.
Yeah.
So
because what we do is it's not like because you got to try and fit in like all your other customers and I try and specify the F1 stuff that you'll be like in the evenings or over the weekend, so it doesn't deter anything from your bread and butter essentially.
Yeah, of course.
So there's basically you kind of split up the sections in there. So we'll do like say and we'll do like an evening session like with Alex as we've done before.
Yeah.
We just jumped on a Zoom call for the ones who's changing for testing, by the way, spoiler alert. So we just jumped on that about 2-3 hours, smashed out some different designs on that and went from there. That's on Lando's, it'll be like a weekend. I'll purposely devote a weekend to do all of them in that aspect if I can.
Yeah.
Go through the ideas and then just keep a loose tally at the end of it from when the payment time comes really.
Yeah, I guess you've got your systems so you can work quite efficiently to get what the driver wants at the end of the day. But how many, like, you know, will these drivers, you know, like come to you really late on with like requests or changes or typically are they more kind of, you know, I guess that depends on the driver, right? Some of them are good up front, others, you know, want you to be making changes at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, so we've had it all. It can depend on the race, really. Like, so I've had one from Lando before. It was like about to turn midnight and he's for a coat special. And he went, I'm not a fan of this. Can we change it? So we up to like 4 a.m. change it. That was the one that we did the Stars and Stripes one. Like, because we had a completely different idea.
Okay.
And he changed last minute. Oh, can we try this different route? So I'm there at 4 a.m. dragging. Like,
yeah.
Like, Phil is just doing this on the computer. Send it over, just praying to God he approves it. Because like, it had to go to Bell. And JMD paint that the next day.
Yeah.
So luckily that all got signed through like that. But we've had that, and we've also had ones where it's been like straight away we do like two concepts in. Yeah, it's fine, go for it.
Really?
So it can just vary on time. You can never prepare for it. You just have to adapt to what comes from there, really. And it comes with the territory.
Lando, if you're watching, you need to respect this man's time. Stop waking him up at 2 in the morning.
Fair, not at 2 in the morning. Right? I can't run.
To be fair, though, like this year, this has been like the most efficient it's been. Like Lando's was the first one confirmed. Like it was
really
super easy. Yeah. To be fair, he's got the team and we've got Ash, Jason and Mark and they're like probably on the ball with him. So if he's not like responding because he's busy,
yeah,
he can always still get a hold of him and work through it all. And to be fair, like this year, I think we've ended up with his best version. Like, it's definitely my favourite one he's done so far, just trimming it back, simplifying it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it stands out from there. But yeah, so we had one stage when we were doing, it was 2020, when we had literally a new helmet every race. Oh. That was, like, intense, that was. It's like, you're thinking, like, yeah, the wage is really good, but my God, I am suffering. Yeah. I got to stay the last two. I think I was literally running out of ideas almost because we're just constantly just churning out idea after idea.
I was going to say, it's just constant like special helmets. And there always is, I feel like, with Lando as well.
Mm. What's been the most like unique special helmet? Because he's had some basketball, like quadruple. Halo one was good.
Halo one was very good. That was a lot of plan, that Halo one. The worry with that was we wondered if you actually do it because obviously it's like got this combat theme. You don't know if even approve it. So luckily, because the video game aspect, they get away with that.
Yeah.
But that was a good big process and that a lot going on. That was very, very cool. But I think the basketball was the one that...
There was a lot of stress on the quadrant side as well from...
I did feel for Jamie in that because he was being peppered left, right, and center. Poor kid. It's like, I'm just doing the colour and I'm doing the easier bit.
Yeah, because it was to coincide with the Halo esports team launch, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you needed to make sure that couldn't afford to be delayed.
Yeah, that had to be that specific week.
Although it did, from a distance, look a bit like a Brussels sprout.
Yeah, that's the one. Sorry. That's the one thing I was worried about. In the early concert, I was thinking...
Who goes to cabbage?
The cabbage. From the early concept stage, we're thinking, Titan, why don't we do like, I was thinking at the time, why don't we do like a skin, like you can do like a certain, like a color Master Chief helmet. That's what we tried that initially. We tried like a gold one, a bronze one, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Thought, look really good at night. But then it just fit, it would be like almost like it's not Master Chief anymore, which is why they went back to the basic one from there. So I think it came out quite well. It looked maybe like a Brussels sprout to those who didn't know what it is, but I think enough people knew what it was to get the idea.
Yeah, if you knew,
it didn't have that visor, then the people would think, "What the heck is this?" As soon as they saw the orange, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah. The basketball one as well, by the way, the texturing on that. I actually genuinely half thought like if you dropped it on the ground, it would bounce back again properly.
To be fair, a lot of that goes down to what JMD done it. I don't know how he did it. He didn't really disclose how he did it, but it's like it literally looked completely real.
I was going to say, so to explain, so obviously you do the designing, but then it gets sent off to JMD designs.
Yeah, so like JMD will paint Lando's, he paints a few others, and like each driver, certain people will paint theirs, like Ufi are doing Logan's this year, Bell paints him, George's, etc. And like Mad56 does Alex's.
Yes.
Different painters do them. But yes, JMD, he has a way, I don't know how he does it half the time. Like sometimes he'll get it really late and it just shows like, how you done this? Or like this effect for the basketballs. Like, again, how the heck did you do this?
Mm. Well, have you ever considered going into that process as well,
because when then you could started,
own the
like,
entire
did,
thing
yeah.
right
yeah when I first started I did a course with someone we worked with on painting. I remember doing all the masking and that, and I realized straight away I have not got the patience that I can do this,
because mate, like,
it's an expansive process.
This is just so intricate,
yeah,
and it's like even like the fade, the gradient, it's like if you go wrong slightly,
oh yeah, you have to put the layer back down. It's like that,
you just have like, it's actually like when you see these up close, the attention to, and also the fact that it's on kind of a completely, it's not a flat surface as well.
And also you're going to make it symmetrical, so you have to do a line down the middle, get it all lined up symmetrical down there, mask it down pretty much first time and go from there. And I think it's very underrated the job that the painters do when they have to turn around at like stupid timelines sometimes.
I can't lie, there are so many different like sort of layers and intricacies to this.
Exactly, yeah. So this is relatively, the complexity in that is mainly like the drop shadowing around there, because a lot.
Can you get it on?
Easy mask. Try if you want.
Surely not.
I think he has a big
head. My head is definitely too big.
I think he has a big head. I mean, Seb put his helmet on really easy, didn't he?
A wham head, so I don't.
Hey, he's in.
Don't worry, Mick. I will clean it before it goes back.
Sorry.
Niren's very clean. It's fine. Okay. How are you feeling?
Huh? My ears are very squashed right now, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, we've got the thumbnail, haven't we?
There we go.
Hello.
You feeling a bit, yeah?
I feel like an actual F1 driver. Oh my god.
I mean, this is
hair off and
this is what George's perspective when he won in Brazil.
Yeah.
Was this was his surroundings. How's your peripheral vision feeling?
Not very peripheral right now. I'll be totally real. Not very peripheral. I think there's definitely still a skill gap. I know I look the part right now.
Back yourself, man. Come on. I reckon you could have him.
Get him on F1 2022.
Yeah,
you can 101 and sort it out from there. That'd be good. Both in full gear as well. Make it happen.
Full kit wankers. Love it. Well, so these drivers, obviously, you say like in 2020, Lando was, you know, almost had a helmet every race. Are you going to be able to get that off yourself? Or are you thinking, no, he's fine. He's fine. He's struggling. Oof. I like to watch you struggle.
Goodness
mate.
So me.
It's fun. What do the drivers do with all these helmets, man? Because they just like seem to
have
just
you seen Lando's
them.
Room? They're just everywhere.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
well, a lot of them, they'll keep some of them. They'll give some to the team, some to sponsors, etc.
Okay.
Sometimes, like the paint, will take one back. We very rarely get a few of them. We keep asking, and it's just waiting for them to turn them around.
Yeah.
It's like, please, can I have
like,
a
you
few
guys
of
made them?
Please.
Come on, like, you
know. It's like, can I have some more, please?
Because, like, obviously, and these are this is a Bell.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of different brands like Araya, Schuberth, and all that. Who you know. For this type of helmet, with all the bells and whistles, and obviously it's got the attachments for the hands device, which is, you know...
Bells and whistles alone.
See what I did there? That wasn't intentional, but there you go.
Please send check.
How much are we looking, like, what does this cost? Not necessarily to you, but if someone wanted to purchase a helmet to this specification, custom painted.
Yeah. Like, he's asking for his karting career. It's about to start, basically. Yeah.
I'm asking, if I can get a tax write-off, then, you know, might have to entertain.
Pure expenses, laugh.
Exactly.
Physical profit.
Yeah, mate. I'm sure HMRC won't mind.
I mean, it's a lot of it. The helmet models have got slightly different prices. These ABP range ones, top of the line carbon ones, like the Bell one, I think it's $4,500 for just the helmet. Like the RI one's about $4,000, the Stilo is about $4,000, the Schuberth is about $5,000. And then once you cancel in, like the accessories, and these are prototype, but like most of the spoilers will be like, say, $80 to $100, depending on what you get. The visors itself, like $140+. I think the F1 one's slightly different because they're heated. Like, you don't often get to buy the heated ones off the shelf. And then so you've got other bits where you can, a different color interior on the Bell, you can pre order it. And I think that's like $200 for that.
Mm.
But yes, it can be anywhere. So like, we normally say if it's like a full carbon like this, if you're going to go for helmet plus like main accessories like visor, spoiler and paintwork, it's like you're looking like $6,000.
It's not cheap. So the fact that some drivers don't really change their helmets up that often, others do.
Yeah.
Is that just a choice that they make and they just swallow the cost themselves, or is a lot of that covered by sponsors? Or
honestly, couldn't tell you. No idea. Never asked that far in.
They just come to me with that.
It's been always like, if I ask, it's quite rude. It's like, they sort it out. I worry about what I can use. I worry about the colour inside of it. Yeah. And they can sort the rest out of it.
27th helmet of the season. Are you sure you can afford
it? It's always a talking point. That's what I mean. It's always a talking point, though. Whenever a driver brings a unique helmet, especially when it's got like specifically, like, has there been one that you've particularly enjoyed working on, or you've just felt as, you know, a helmet that you've just like thought, oh, we absolutely nailed that, you know?
In F1, you'd probably say the Miami one was that one, but one of my favorites, like before F1, it was Lando's 2018 Carlin one. It was chrome and a lot of pictures of like his career so far of him. That one looked really, really good. It's one that we've been pushing to play with the idea for a while, and when we did it, it's quite cool to see, because you see on that it was like pictures of all the helmets that we've done for him and all the cars and everything up to that point on one helmet before he went to F1, which is really cool, quite sentimental. Really do like that one. That's in his car now, I think, in the factory somewhere. I think Chairman Steph's little boy runs around with it on all the time.
And then obviously going into 2023, you've got all of these clients, you've got all of this work going on in the back end. What other series, like outside of F1, you know, in the junior formulas, outside, which other drivers may be of note that people might have heard of, are you painting for this year or designing for this year?
Designing for, yeah. So IndyCar, we do Pato Awards and Devlin DeFrancesco. Like, I think the second favorite special we did last year was probably Pato's Indy one. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was chrome. It was a 3D chrome of the bricks going around it.
Mm.
And then it was basically, how much fancy stuff can we stick on one lid for that one-off special occasion?
Yeah.
And to be fair, it did look the absolute danglies. It really, really good. I felt so sorry for the painter, because he had so little time to do it. Shout out for Tyler at Sensport for smashing that one, because that was a really good one. They say we're doing Devlin DeFrancesco's, also an IndyCar. We're doing a few that are going in Indy next, like Jimmy Chadwick's, we've done hers.
Nice.
And then we've got Louis Foster's. He always gives something unique. Like, he did the Miami thing before Miami was on the calendar.
Yeah.
This is one of those, when a few people sent him comments, I felt sorry for him, blessing him, saying like, oh, you got a Miami helmet because the Grand Prix is like, no, he literally had this in 2020. Yeah. So we actually jumped the curve on that one. So we're doing for him there. And F2 and F3, so we like we do all Correa stuff in F2. We do like bits for Carlin liveries in F2. We do, I'm trying to lose count of people in F3. We've done Ollie Gray, Zachary Sullivan's. I need to look at my list. There's quite a few in F3.
That's a good problem to have.
It is.
I've just got so many clients. Yeah. I just can't even.
I don't mean that. I'm joking.
That must be pretty cool though. Like, especially, you know, seeing a helmet you've designed win a race in Formula One, not even just in Formula One, seeing junior Formula wins and all that. That must be pretty special for you because, you know, I guess the teams themselves now have so much control over the car livery. And it's like the helmet, since the limit was lifted by the FIA, so drivers are allowed to have as many different helmet designs as they want. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a nice way of the drivers being able to express themselves, but also you're involved in that process as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really the one piece they can customize. You can be involved and do it from there. But the main bit about the job that's been like probably like the biggest impact is a lot of the clients that we've got, like even like now in F3 and that, a lot of them we've basically like worked with some car, and that's the one that's been really rewarding. Like personally, like George and Alex, especially, not just George and Lando, sorry. That we've done them since karting, and we've known them since they were literally like this big.
Yeah,
I've known Lando quite literally.
Oh, literally, Lando when he was in RL and RFM, he was literally like 4'8", bless him. He was so small. Yeah. And then you've seen that, oh, he's my size now. Yeah. And you remember doing his stuff all that time, and same with George, which soon he went to F4, we've done all the stuff from there. We only did Alex's from, say, like F1 aspect. But when you see a lot of them go up from karting when they've been like in, like eight years old in cadets, some in the junior categories, and they're going up through the ladder, it's always really cool to see. Like, they've actually like they're stuck with you through that time as well, and then you see them go up and up, like, having success. That's the most rewarding thing for me.
Yeah, because when you first met them and first started working with them, did you, because obviously I'm sure you work with a lot of, you know, youngsters in karts, did they really stand out as being like, oh, I actually think these two might get to F1? Obviously, it's easy to say in hindsight.
Just put an extra hour into the helmet design. This one might actually make
this kid special.
There's always a few you see, especially in karts, and I like, you know, that kid is absolute shit hot. He's like, he's really, really good. Yeah. He or she. They're really, really good. And then just a few of them you see, like, it then depends on like coming out the break you get in single seaters. Like the first 2 years of single seaters can easily break or make your career.
Yeah.
Depending on what avenue you go by.
Yeah.
But like, it's a lot of them, it's like you'll see like a few of them will be like, even if they go the GT route, you can still always have like success from there. Like Dick Dennis, I think, was like the first, like, in terms of ones like the big name clients. I think he was our second ever client when I first started doing it properly. Mm-hmm. And he's obviously in Formula E, like fighting for the championship in there now. So like, Ollie Rollins again doing the same. So it's one of those, you see him in car, you think that guy, he's good. So it's always good to get on board, and you see him go into F4. It's when you get to the stage where you see how they progress from there, it's always really interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're so dependent on what, if they get in the management team, if they got in a program, or just how genuinely well they do that adapt into it. Some are slow burners. Mm-hmm. Some will come in there swearing, smacking, like Lando went bang, 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 up to F2. Mm. Whilst George's was a bit like, he won F4 and then had the two seasons not been, basically went in Premier, he wasn't going to win at that point in F3.
Yeah.
And then he went in the ART, went bang, bang from there.
Yeah.
Some of them can just do that. Some of them will be like steady burner, and you'll see they'll have a year, then smash it, or a year or two, then smash it.
Yeah, there's no one route.
There's certain
drivers like George, like Marshall.
Max.
You'd like win everything, like, you know, dominate through, but that's not the only...
Yeah, exactly.
Route to market.
Exactly. I think a lot of it's been kind of, because Max was such an exceptional case, it's kind of shifted the perspective to put a lot of pressure actually on the drivers coming up.
Yeah.
And like the sponsor used to think, oh, has he won this? No, they're not interested. I think that's, it's in a way that you'll find more of the gems, but it makes a lot of pressure on the young driver. I don't envy them at all. I think if I was that age, I don't think I'd be able to mentally cope with it.
Mm. Well, I feel like it shifted, like the how old is kind of acceptable for a rookie to be. Like, like when Lewis started, I think he was 22, I think in his first year, maybe 23.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like drivers are just getting younger and younger.
Which, in terms of like debut season. If you had a debut rookie season at 22, 23, but because now you'd be like, oh, they're old.
That's like, why it's like useless. I always see people compare like Max and Lewis's careers based off the age that they were when they did certain things. Yeah. But like Max was in F1 like 4 years earlier. Mm. Like it's completely shifted.
It's like Max's career is like, no one's ever had a career like that. Literally, he did what? He did KF karting, and went gearbox karting, won the world title, went straight in F3 cars. Like no one, you wouldn't be able to do that now. It just would not happen.
No, they wouldn't allow it.
But it's the case where you saw the kid was clearly special.
Yeah.
So you managed to make it work from that. And then it changed, it all stopped happening because it obviously made controversy. Yeah. But you had the same like when Kimi Raikkonen came into F1.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
I literally just did Formula Renault and then, all right, then it's a 900 horsepower F1 car, see you later, see how you get on.
Wild.
And that was like the ultimate sink or swim, like throw him in the deep end, see what he does, and it paid off.
Yeah.
But again, then there was controversy over that. So I think the thing a lot of it is, without sounding cynical, I think FIA trying to purposely put everyone through the process there to come up through there.
They want to keep everyone in that pool, don't they?
Exactly. Like they want to keep in that pool. Like that economically for all the teams, it's good. And that respect because all the teams survive on that. And then it filters all out through there. Even though if you're like, say, a driver trying to fund it by yourself, it's like almost impossible to do it. You have to have like backing or be on a team to get through it. Because like the cost, you'll see the cost of like do F2 and F3 is like,
wow,
it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess just like, you know, in this day and age, it's difficult now because drivers do often change their helmets so often. Mm-hmm. You look at, say, Sebastian Vettel, and he kept that, you know, German flag stripe across the top of his helmet, which kept it consistent. Like, how do you see this going forward? Because, you know, you think of, a Senna helmet is very iconic. You know that color palette. Because helmets are changing so often, do you think there's not going to be that same going forward because, you know, there's a different helmet every race? How do drivers keep that legacy? The only example I can think is maybe Lando, because he does have that kind of template that gets used for most designs anyway. Mm. But even then, not every design. So how will drivers, you know, will there be memorable helmets in like 20 years time from this generation? Or do you think that those days are kind of gone?
It kind of depends what the driver wants to do with it, really. I mean, we've had this conversation actually like with Lando, which is why the last 2 years he's had like a few less specials, where it's been like fundamentally the main helmet. Like certain races he might do a twist in like Mexico, he tends to fill it in with certain bits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But keeping that core template, because we can really, I think we can make that a modern classic. Like the steps done like this, you have to like tone it down a bit, but still honestly, bright yellow, Lando's helmet, you see him a mile off. Almost the same way how Senna's works, even if it is literally Senna's, was basically just three stripes.
Yeah.
Because it was yellow and bold, you know who it was.
Yeah.
And like Mick Hacken's is basically the same design, but it's the finished colour. So again, you recognise it straight away. So yeah, it depends a lot what the driver does. If they want to keep like the same template for when it's each special and modify it, or do completely different ones to then make their own helmet stand out when it is being used. It's just personal preference. But a lot of the time, a lot of them get more intricate, so they care more about details in it rather than simple block colours. Which in some aspects is a shame. I know a lot of the more like traditional long fans probably get bored of saying like, oh, it's too like detailed and busy on that. But at the end of the day, it's the customer's choice and you just have to reflect on that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think you will still get some instantly recognizable ones if they keep to like their template and palette. Oh, because like, Max has probably got one as well. I mean, he's kept with white and he just basically changed the colors of the shapes coming off it.
Yeah.
So with Lando's the same sort of thing. It's just gonna be driver preference. And then if you're doing well in a helmet and you keep it the same, it's going to be iconic. That's kind of like as simple as it is.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of wish they just kept with the black and purple, honestly, really.
Yeah, same. I was literally just thinking of the Lewis purple.
Because like his yellow helmet, it pops out so well. There's that picture that you've seen on Twitter in the Merc with the yellow number, the yellow helmet. It pops so well.
Mm.
But it's like saying, you think of that and say, oh, we can have a helmet that always pops out. But it's like, then how do you link that with the drivers from his career if they've changed it quite a lot?
Mm.
As I think if he'd have kept with his black and purple and then maybe he's yellow outlined it, I thought that'd have been absolute chef's kiss, but it's personal preference.
Yeah, because he does still have a bit of purple in his helmet, I think.
The main base is purple. He's got yellow.
Yeah.
He's got yellow fills. It's almost like he took last year's helmet, he's added a bit more purple to it. I think it's quite nice, to be fair, and it stands out.
That tires on quite nicely because obviously we've seen the Mercedes now. Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen it when we did the last pod.
Yep.
And like you say, Lewis, not only it's the T-cam, he has the yellow T-cam, doesn't he? And then he has the numbers and the kind of wheel covers. George is the same. But then I guess it's because if you put the blue of George's helmet on the number, then it would just blend in with the rest of the Petronas branding? Because his is green, isn't it?
I have no idea why it's green. Like, I had no idea it was green beforehand.
I don't get it.
People said to me, I've put it on post, it's a launch helmet, because they're thinking a small change will happen. They're thinking, oh, it's going to be green, because the number's like, I had no clue it was a green number until the render went up. I had no
really?
Idea.
Yeah.
So literally,
I was going to ask you if you kind of worked together on that, but
we had literally no idea. We were experimenting with some colours on it, which might change going forward in the season, but yeah, from the green, no. I kind of wish it was green. That's my favourite colour. I'd love to have that, but I don't know if he wants it or not. Find
the
out,
numbers on the Mercedes should be the same color as the Petronas branded.
I wish they were the same. I think
why the yellow and green? Really, it just stands out. I like
the idea of Lewis as being yellow because
that makes sense.
I mean, you're looking imagine looking behind that looks absolutely so badass meme behind you. You're being hunted down by this yellow thing inside the black car. So George's, I think they had to be Petronas all blue.
What I mean. Like, I think
the
Lewis
made that choice. So.
Yeah, Lewis is able to make that work because the helmet's yellow and it all kind of ties in. And there's that
makes sense.
And it's clear. Like, you think, oh, okay, that it's gonna. It makes I think Lewis the most probably the most discernible driver on the track now because the base cars all black, so it really pops. But then straight away you'll see the neon hits and you'd be like, oh well, that's clearly Lewis. Like Crofty should have a easier time.
If he says here comes Russell and it's Lewis,
there's no excuses now, Crofty.
That'll just trigger everybody.
Yeah. But so what did we make of the car and the launch? Because again, you're a livery designer as anyone else. You just specialize on helmets, but you've done car liveries in the past as well. What did you make of what Mercedes brought out?
I really like the black. I kind of like the silver that came out last year, but then when you see it on track, it looks like it just looked like it got drowned in like all the Petronas green and so much carbon on it. It literally just like a pale silver, so it didn't quite work. Especially when you see a few times when you just did a joke edit and make it black, it looks so good.
Yeah.
So when they dropped the black car there, it looked really, really, especially getting rid of the Ineos airbox. Oh. Thank God they got rid of the red off that. No offense, Ineos, if you're watching. But yeah, it just looks so much better on black. It just stood out so well.
It just looks mean as well.
Yeah.
Like I think, I remember them, they tweeted as well, I think, I want to say like 3 or 4 days before. And it was just like an old picture of the black Mercedes from a couple of years ago. Like, the silver arrow looking good.
Admin was trolling so hard.
Everyone was like, hang on a second. That seems a little bit of a, but then the next day they posted a silver arrows one. And I was I just want it to be black again. But
I think
it looks sensational.
I think this is the best version of the black Mercedes personally.
I really like
one.
The thing that triggers me is the Petronas position. I know why it's there, like how it is, because the extreme curve on the side pod.
True.
It's almost like in no man's land. I'm like thinking, can we just move like nudge to there or put the icon on it? But that makes me think that you might see some changes on it.
I guess that's where it's, as much as it's, you know, there's challenges designing for something that doesn't have a flat surface, and you've got that with a helmet, but it is a standardized shape regardless of the brand. Whereas I guess, if you're designing a livery for a car, I mean, especially with the Mercedes kind of, we're not calling them zero pods, it's 0.5 pods.
Half a pod, yeah.
Like, it's very, you can, and they've got the big, like, shoulders to the car, like, coming down the back of the halo as well.
So what it is, basically, if you looked at the top of the Ferrari, how it's, like, scalloped like that, imagine taking that and rotating at 45 degrees. That's essentially what they've gone for. So it makes that extreme curve to put any sort of logo just be so deformed.
Yeah.
I think they saw it, like, 2 years ago on the W12, I think, the Petronas logo from the side. It looked kind of like it was bent like that, so I can see why they moved it back. But that's the only thing that kind of triggered me on this. Again, it just needs to be there, but I can see why it's not.
Will it be as quick as it looks, though? That's the question.
We'll find out. I'm hoping that we have a three-way fight, to be honest. Just as, at least a three-way fight, if we just have more cars involved.
Do you find yourself, like, are you able to really get into the competitiveness and have, like, strong feelings about the sport, or are you just so focused on the design element?
You back your driver. It's like football, you back your team, don't you?
Yeah.
Drivers.
Wait, what if
Lando and George and Alex are scrapping on track?
And they'll take each other out in a massive shirt, and we just turn Instagram off for a week and then come back later and smoke something later.
All your drivers beefing in the group chat. You can't have that. Actually, now you've got two more as well, so there's even more potential. We got, because you've got Oscar and Lando.
Yes, we've got two in Williams and two in McLaren, so watch them like shunt each other and I got put together.
Don't have a group team meeting.
Do a couple of like social graphics, just like an impact in the middle of two helmets like that and see how many hits it gets.
And then obviously,
won't do that.
Well, someone you don't have a driver for yet, maybe one day, Alpine. Ocon and Gasly launched their car as well, final launch of the season.
Indeed. It's kind of the same. They're doing the special pink livery again.
The pink looks really good.
We love a BWT mobile. Yeah. I'm a big fan. But
especially with, obviously, you know, too much carbon on the cars. Like, I think regardless, both versions of the Alpine, they're bright enough.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, thousands.
There's enough to stand out.
It's one of those, you feel sorry for the livery designer because obviously they're constrained by the performance department because we have to shift weight in this key area
and
design around it. So you're always going to have that thing to work around with. It's kind of different. It's like the response band on this being red. It's just something that you have to exist with and you might change in the future if you don't like it or not. But it's what the team want. They just designed to sit around there. I can see why so many people are angry about it, all the carbon everywhere, because it kind of does take away a lot of the team's identity in certain places.
Yeah.
So the McLaren is more carbon, but I think the McLaren works, to be honest. I quite like the McLaren.
Yeah, because the fact of, like, the rear wing of the McLaren actually has more papaya than last year.
Yeah.
So I think they've just kind of maybe moved it around a bit.
I was going to say orange again, but you can't say that, can you?
No, I got told off.
It's got to be papaya.
Yeah.
Did you get the dressing down?
Yeah. But yeah, I just think it's one of them that I think Alpine are at the weight limit. They've said they are, and that they can add ballast to kind of shift that.
A poor one, they always say weight target, which you guarantee is always like a few kilos less in case they add bulk on. Like Williams, when Williams changed that concept last year, even though it made the car faster, it made like way, way heavier.
Yeah.
So it's that they always have to have that balance if when they're adding new components, or if anything, like say, fails in testing, they have to reinforce it, then they have that buffer in there.
Yeah.
It's just always that. I think on a livery design, there's far more considerations than it is actually on the helmet.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more sorry for when they've got like, this logo's going to be here on the exact background. Mm. They can't go around this curve because of the flow or how it's assembled and that. There's more considerations than that. Or half the car's going to be naked because we are fat and heavy. We need to make it lighter.
Yeah, because you had the... When BWC came in, I mean, that Alpine livery in 2021 was gorgeous. Nice,
pure fire, wasn't it?
It was so nice. Yeah. But then they had... Last year, they had the red map free, but then they had the pink.
Yeah,
I think of red and blue. I was like, oh, it's too much.
It's one of those, from a distance, you can see past it. It's more like when you first see all the render shots, you're instantly drawn to like everything on it.
Yeah.
But by the end of the year, you'll see the car and try to think, oh, it looks really nice with the blue and pink. I quite like the blue and pink from the start. It was just literally like that piece of red that triggers you.
Remember when Alpine turned up with some green on?
The Castrol, that was nasty.
That was terrible.
That was terrible.
They took a beautiful thing and they...
Really, they should have gone full Castrol for that. They should have gone white car, green and red.
Yeah. Oh, like the rally car.
That would have been really, really good. Sean, please, for God's sake, make this happen in the design department.
Sean
Bullshit out.
Yeah,
Sean. Sean Abbott.
What? The Alpine launch was at the Alpine launch was at Printworks. I'm surprised you and Aaron were down there, man.
I was going to say, yeah, I felt left out.
I was there
in the corner with the egg bomb, like, you show that car off.
I saw someone post, it was like, they were really strict with like, no drinking, nothing. Yeah. I guess they didn't want leaks as well, right? So it's still a press event.
But yeah, at the end of the day, yeah.
But
bold in a nightclub.
But Alpine ran the car on the Monday, and then some photographer, I think, went to the hotel.
They didn't think about that, did they? Someone could rent the hotel out. They should definitely just put the hotel
out. Just don't put a livery on it if you're going to test it. What's wrong with you? They're just like, and Alpine just pretending that there's no leaks, and every single post the top comment is just the leaks.
HD 4K.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
To be fair, you've got to have some sort of leak to give us someone to bite on, haven't you?
Yeah, that wasn't a leak. That was a
Dam breaking, that was the whole car.
The other one was a leak when it just appeared behind it. Then we saw the picture of the car. Oh, there it is. That looks nice.
I like a leak when there's an air of it might not be real.
Yes, exactly.
When it's so low resolution.
Exactly.
Or like it's just like half pixelated.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh man, someone might have made that.
Yeah.
But equally, it might have just been taken from like 3 miles away,
yeah,
sort of vibe. That's, yeah, that's, yeah, the best.
That's
the
a
best
proper. One. That's a leap.
That's a, yeah, proper.
That's by, yeah, definition a leap.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a small little,
taking on like little a telescope or something.
Exactly. And you got that, like, gem, and then you see the quotes where you just go bang, yeah, and you know, yeah, hit a banger. Then, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Of all the helmets you've done, what do you think's gone down the best amongst the community? Because, you know, you're pretty active on socials for, as, yeah, far as
standard,
I've
or special. If we went by likes, it's always hard to go by likes, because you can geo-target a lot of them if you want to as well. Like,
yeah,
if I wanted to get a load of hits from Mexico, I can just promote Checkers purely in Mexico, and you guarantee it's going to get blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah.
But like, I think the most popular one we had was, I think because it was at the hype at the time, and the algorithm was well and truly in like up more posters' favours, when George did the merch drive in 2020. That one popped off like really heavily, like that. That was I think that's the most liked one we got, yeah, aside from like a concept car livery we've done. But I think after that, Miami probably was definitely, that went down like extremely well. It's been on Twitter, which is going everywhere.
It's such a simple, good, like, did Lando come to you with that idea?
Yeah, it's him and his team that they came up with the main idea for it, because initially we were trying to, it would start off being like about a jersey, like a Miami Heat style jersey. We played, yeah, around with that,
yeah,
and then we went to the basketball thing. We were kind of always like changing the colors of it, and then Ash and Jason on the team just say, should we just make a genuine basketball and stick Lando on the back of Steve Wilson? Mm. No, we'll try it. And it just slaps.
Yeah, yeah.
It just,
yeah,
works,
yeah,
so well.
Yeah.
Is it just keeping it simple just worked? And just,
that is the thing. It is simple and like on the face of it, but it just like, it stands out so well against the,
yeah, you know,
it's just,
it was just so obvious what it was. That, yeah. And then to be fair, they did it so well, and the fact that you can promo it so easily as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just,
yeah,
go to the basketball thing, throw the thing around, you've got absolutely great content all the time.
I've got to say, and it's not simple, but I absolutely love what you've done with Checo's helmet this year. Like, is Checo really involved in the process? Does he?
He's the one that's probably like, we're quite lucky that most of the times with the drivers, we can get like once a month with him on like WhatsApp or stuff like that.
Okay.
By the team. But Checo's is the one where we had the least contact with him, but to be fair, his sister and his manager are always like really on the ball with it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, we did two helmets this week we got signed off, which is quite quickly done. But yeah, I like his helmet a lot compared to last year, because last year, yeah, he went to that normal Red Bull yellow, which I just thought it just looks so much blander than, yeah, the fluoro, and then this year brought it back. The only thing that like gripes it this year is obviously you have to work around the permanent colours for Clara and Telcel for the standard helmet.
Yes.
Which kind of diminishes a bit of the yellow on that, but because luckily Max's is so different in that aspect anyway, it doesn't look too similar. Mm-hmm. Whilst last year from a distance, they did look very similar in the car. It was quite,
they did, distracting. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because Checo brings quite a lot of personal sponsors, doesn't he?
He has the most on the lid, like by far.
Really?
That's what, yes. Claro, Telcel, Benotti, Rebel sponsors, Kavax down there. It's a lot to get in.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's tough to like make, when you've got so many logos, to make each one pop.
Exactly.
Enough, yeah, and not, yeah, blend, yeah, into, yeah, each other.
Not, yeah, form in from there. Because like, obviously then you've also got the Red Bull that takes up like 60% of the side on the side, yeah, anyway.
Of
and
course.
A few of their parts. Look at the bi-bits, quite small. But check against the front of the helmet as well. So it's just fitting it all in. It's always a bit of a compromise. I mean, a lot, Red Bull, they're quite good. They're a lot better than they used to be back in the day, where they were really strict on colour schemes, especially the juniors. It's like they've almost like mellowed a bit now, where you get a bit more flexibility in that. And to be fair, they get a lot of stick for all every helmet's a Red Bull. Fundamentally, yeah, it is a giant Red Bull logo. You looked at it from a side, but when you can see like what they put into a lot of drivers' careers, it's like you, yeah, take the hit and that.
They're kind of justified, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we got good flexibility last year, a few special, like the Austria one being mainly red.
Yeah.
Like Max and Spa one being bright orange and chrome orange, stuff like that. So they do allow for the special ones.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not as frequent, and there's not as much freedom as you would get to say to someone that's not in the Red Bull program.
Yeah, and it's just that stipulation that the side has to have just boom.
Exactly, yeah.
About 11 of those running around in F2 this year.
Oh, that's the car is the problem that is. That is the one problem I have with F2. Try and spot the driver. Good luck.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so sorry. Alex Jakes is going to go mental. Yeah, yeah, How is he going to pick all that out?
Well, they're all Red Bull cars, but they've all got slightly different sponsors. So if you don't know that, in Formula 2, you've got tons of drivers. Is it actually 11?
It's not 11.
I think it's 6 or 7, though.
It's a lot. Yeah. Like there's a lot of Red Bull drivers, so you're going to see probably a lot of Red Bull liveries. Fittipaldi
is the easiest. Fittipaldi's got bright yellow pods, so you'll spot
him. Yeah.
But
so they're like all the same car, but then they've all got slightly different rear wing Lawson sponsors
as well.
Yeah. Super Formula.
Oh, yeah. Super Formula.
He got a bit of flexibility on his lid this year. His lid looks very nice. You'll like that one. Because it's your brand.
I haven't seen that. Oh, is it?
It's your brand.
I'll send the invoice, Liam, in the post.
I think Alex sent him one first from Japan.
Yes. Well, look, obviously we've seen all the F1 car liveries now. Mm-hmm. Let's do a quick top three. We do have an expert in the building as well. So
that's very generous word.
Your opinion is fact.
I'll send the check back in the post.
Yeah.
Bouncing checks.
What we think, in terms of our third favourite to most, I'm just trying to think, and we can include the pink BWT Alpine, actually.
I put that four straight away for the reckon, just on the fringe.
Just on the fringe, because I actually don't think I'm going to put Ferrari in my top three.
Aren't you?
I think they've fiddled around with it too much. I preferred it last year. It was more simple.
Save our logo background. It just looks like, oh, we'll just cut that off. That's the only gripe I have of it. Too far.
I like the red on the front wing though. Now
I don't like it. I prefer the all black front.
Do
because last year it was just red chassis, black front rear wing. Simple. It felt like a 90s F1. Car,
yeah, for me. It was like that. The 1994 livery looked really, really nice, didn't it?
And you know what? Actually, the Williams, we're shooting this on Tuesday afternoon. McLaren went out on track earlier this morning. Cars are starting to kind of go out now, and testing starts on Thursday. But the Williams on the actual car actually looks really good. I'm half tempted to put that third.
The matte finish suits it so much better than the gloss.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
And that way, even if they do strip it back to be like basically a bare naked carbon car, it won't stand out.
It looks so much better on the actual car than on the launch car to me. So I think I might put Williams third.
You're going for Williams third?
Yeah, Williams third for me.
I think I'm going to slap the Ferrari in third because I do still love it. I genuinely prefer the front wing now.
Yeah.
I was going to slap Ferrari third as well.
Okay. Yeah.
If they just had to say that in red, it'd be instantly second.
Yeah.
Okay, second. I'm thinking Mercedes, but I'm just trying to think which other cars have really stuck out to me. Haas, yeah.
Alfa Romeo is number one for me. I really like that. I think it looks so nice. I know it's a lot of carbon, and it's literally genuinely two rhombus shapes. And the whole thing, but it just slaps really hard. I really like it. I think it looks so much better than the white version.
I agree.
And because also no offense to all of them, but you had their red and the alpha red, it just triggered my OCD on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe knock it down. It was third last year for me. Third best one last year, but this year I think it's definitely
third. Yeah, I think Mercedes two for me.
Yeah.
And Alfa Romeo one for me.
Yeah. First.
What are you saying?
Looks, agreed.
It's just so perfect. I mean, like the one bit as well where they put the crate on the rear wing that always just slaps.
Yeah.
So well.
Genuinely, I do prefer the sort of red and black they've gone for this year than the red and white of last time. And it was even good last year. I liked that it's progressively got better.
Yeah.
Every single year, the Alfa Romeo. But yeah, no, I'd probably put that number one as well.
So we're all in agreement.
Should we twist it to the three worst?
Well, I was going to say.
Be nice.
No, let's just do worst. Because I don't. You sound avatary.
Sorry, yes.
That is really divided, people.
Yeah.
I can't put it last in my mind. It's horrible from the front angle, but
I can put it from
like perspective angles, I think it looks really good.
Yeah. I think we need to kind of see it on track. So you're always going to see mainly the front and like the front right angle, because maybe right hand corners, you'll see it from that angle and judge fully from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a distance, actually, you'll probably stand because it's mainly white at the front, like there's so many dark cars, so you will see it.
Yeah,
it'll stand out.
Yeah.
But is that a good thing?
Yeah.
You want it to stand out.
Yeah,
no. It's just, for me, they're all in your see why I've had to do all, and it's like fair enough, it's red, but I think a lot of it's the oversized logo going over so many different shapes.
Yeah,
from the side, it doesn't look like the actual AlphaTauri logo. Whilst last year they had it basically fill out the engine cover and it just fitted there like a gem,
it did
really, really nicely.
Yeah,
even when it was like on the older cars, when basically the side pod and the engine cover was one,
yeah,
it fitted really nicely there. This is the biggest it's been, and I just don't think it works on pods sticking out.
When we spoke about it last week, I said it just looks slow, and I don't know how to describe that.
It just looks slow.
It doesn't look like it's going to be a good car.
I just realised that I didn't put Aston Martin in my top three. I think I actually replacing Williams with Aston Martin. That's third in my list. No, worst livery, I actually think I prefer the AlphaTauri is down there, don't get me wrong, because I actually think, like, I know that they're not always colourful as maybe we'd like, right? But I think in isolation, I think they're all quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I prefer the AlphaTauri to the Haas. So I think I'm going to put Haas last.
You'll put Haas last?
Sorry, Gunnar.
The thing that gets me with the Haas...
You're blocked now, isn't it?
If you took the Haas...
Can you double check if she's still blocked, by the way?
Go on. You
carry on, man.
So if you looked at the Haas launch photos and then you swapped that white for yellow, you have basically the Renault livery before they changed to Alpine. I think if you change that, you'll change your idea of it.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's too fiddly. Like there's some like weird.
I think it's the bits on the sidebar. I think the sidebar was black a little bit.
And I don't know. And just from the front, it looks like, don't get me wrong, like the 2019 Haas was like my favorite livery that year. I think it was 2019. I
love Rich Energy one.
Oh no, it wasn't that one. It wasn't that one.
The one after the Rich Energy.
Yeah. That one I loved. Yeah. It was just like really color blocked and it was, but yeah, this is too fiddly.
You're all Carly and then there was.
Yeah, it's 2020 that I really liked. That was my favorite livery on the grid that year, but no.
Yeah, sorry to break everyone's hearts here, but I am still blocked. 4 weeks after the start of the hashtag Free Neuron campaign.
The movement's not got enough momentum.
Yeah, there's not enough momentum on this movement. We need to pick it up.
Retweet and like, please, everybody.
Come on.
All right. Also, wanted to speak on something briefly that came up in the news cycle.
Mm.
Little excerpt from an interview with Max Verstappen, talking about his dream team, himself excluded,
right, okay,
from this year's kind of...
What role does he have? Is he just like CEO?
Yeah, I guess he's Lawrence Stroll in it. You know, he's sitting on the back.
Rolling.
And then
this is my bank balance. I will have who I want, when I want. Yeah, Let's make it happen.
Literally, basically. Yeah. No, so he went Horner as team principal and then Fernando and Lando. So Fernando.
A Lando combination.
The experience of Fernando.
Lando and Nando.
Exactly. So,
well, they've raced it before, haven't they? They did Daytona, didn't they?
And they
worked. They worked each other before.
And they were almost McLaren team mates, weren't they?
Yeah.
Or could have been. Things have gone a little bit differently.
Yeah.
If Alonso had stayed put, then Sainz probably wouldn't have gone to McLaren
or Ferrari.
But what would, so if we debate the same question, if you could pick a team principal and then two drivers from the current field, who are you going with in 2023, as they are now?
I'd have to say like two different options. If I was going for one, that like the most exciting one you could probably get.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The most exciting one I could probably get. I know would like just like I think it would be fireworks for two different ways. You'd have, I think, and how they manage it. I'd put Toto as team boss, and I'd put Max and George together because of how much I know George. Now he's like quite methodical in that way, and Max is a bit more brash, but he's still just like insanely good.
Yeah.
I think that would be a proper cauldron for action and that one. I think it'd be great to watch that.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to like put your sensible head on to be like the two best drivers to work together and get the best result in that aspect, like zero politics. Again, you probably say you put Toto in there as team boss just because he's done it all now. You got to say, and the way he managed the beef in the past, he's done quite well.
Yeah.
It's like a no nonsense approach. He puts his foot down and you listen.
Yeah.
I think that works a bit better than what Christian was doing, especially like when you consider like Brazil and that. That kind of knocked him down a peg, even though I think, to be fair, for how Christian's been in it for so long. There's a reason why he has been there for so long. He's clearly done a very, very good job.
Absolutely.
From there. So yeah, I put the two together, they're really good together. I'd probably say maybe, I'd say Fernando and Max, I think they work together really well, actually.
Yes. That would cancel each other out.
I think the big personalities.
I think they'd work together.
Yeah.
They clearly respect each other.
And you might still
forget
actually a bit of spice from it, but I think like together they work quite well.
Yeah.
And you get some sensational team radio.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
I think Fernando sees a lot of himself in Max.
Yeah. Thousands. Yeah.
Like, I definitely feel there's like that uncle vibe.
To be fair, I'd like to see George and Lando against each other, though. I'd really like to see that.
Oh, at the same time.
I'd love to see that one.
What about you, Niren? What are you thinking? What's that? Like, what's spicy and then efficient,
spicy and efficient? See, the obvious option would be I just want to see Lewis and Max in the same team in terms of like a, from a driver lineup with Gunter Steiner managing them. What the fuck happens?
Imagine the doors, the damage would be unbelievable.
Unprecedented.
That would be on its side.
They'd be over a cost cap just from like...
He couldn't manage Schumacher and Mazepin. What's he going to do with them two?
Oh, could you imagine?
He'd be on that Steiner ship and I'm out of here, boys.
He'd be writing a second book within a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be... Yeah. That'd be vibes.
That's my final answer, actually.
Oh, okay. You know, I think on that one.
Hang on, let me... I think one that I would also love to see, George and Lando, I would love to see. I would love that sort of like Battle of the Brits sort of. I'll consolidate with that one, yeah.
Okay, so try something a little bit different.
Mm.
I think that if you brought together Alex Albon.
Oh, of course. Shock. On brand.
As per.
Yeah.
No, Alex and George, I think, would work
That'd
really
be great
well together.
Wouldn't it?
Chemistry would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
I think they'd
social media content, good.
Yeah, of course. Solid. But I just think they've got such a good relationship that's gone back so far.
Yeah.
I think they would be, yeah, a really good mixture, a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put someone alongside Carlos Sainz for like an exciting pairing. Because I think Carlos and Fernando, not just because they're both Spanish,
that'd
but
like,
they do have a great relationship.
That'd be like Mass and Apprentice as well, because he like idolises him, doesn't he?
Yeah. But that would be like, that dynamic, I think, would be really like, I think that would boil over a bit. Mm. I think that would
be exciting.
You see
a big Estrella logo on the side, wouldn't you? Estrella, bang, I'm having two drivers
just
in there.
Yellow and red.
Yeah.
And then who's your principal?
Yeah, I forgot about principal. We've got just...
That's what you put Andrea Stella in to make the whole quartet, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good shout, actually. No, because, well, James Vowles just joined Williams literally yesterday, I think was his first day.
Yeah.
But am I going to... No, I think for the Sainz Alonso one, I think Seidel, Andreas Seidel in charge.
That would be interesting,
would be great.
And a lot of tapas as well.
Oh, you know, imagine George and Alex with a team principal of Christian. I don't know how that would work.
I feel like that would almost be like a waste of Christian Horner's main characteristics.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he thrives on the fact that that at least one of his drivers is quite outgoing, outspoken and outlandish. So that he can then extinguish all the fires. He wouldn't need to do that with that lineup, I don't think. So he just be kind of sat there, just like building.
I need
up
to do something.
Yeah. Fuck it, like Zach Brown.
Yeah.
Even though he's not really team principal, but
no,
sod it. Let him do it.
I think you want the most chilled lineup.
Odd. You can make the rules.
You want the most chilled lineup.
Oh.
Get Piastri and Alex Albon in there, because that'll just be like the calmest lineup.
They are both
so chilled about like everything. I think that would go quite well.
He's the most chilled out team principal.
That's a good point, actually. He is much chill out team principal.
Mike Crack, because we haven't really seen much of him.
That's a really nice
name. Crazy name.
You barely even saw him last year, did you, really?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Kind of forgot he was team principal, not gonna lie.
Oh, I'll be honest, yeah.
You could argue that's what a team principal should be like, but I guess in this day and age, because team principals never necessarily used to, front and centre in their personality.
They're unbeatable.
Cyril? Cyril back.
Bring Cyril back.
Is it Hyundai in WRC now?
Is he?
Yeah. It's taken over there.
But yeah. That's crack.
It's fascinating to me how, and I guess, it really humanizes these drivers, is that you can have such a diverse range of different personality types that all are brought together by this same, you could say the same for like the Kimi Raikkonen, you know, versus like Daniel Ricciardo, like how different their personalities are. I feel like, I could be wrong here, but like from sports I have understanding of and watch and follow and that, I feel like F1, like the people competing seem to vary more than any other, even though it is actually a very, like, you need money to get involved.
Yeah.
Right? It's not working class sport, but the personalities seem to be really varied. Like, you're working with these guys, you know, and it must be like managing a relationship with one driver versus another.
What's quite interesting when you see like the working relationship you have, like on like, say, the projects for them, you always see like a slight difference between their like focus and work on something and then what they are like to everywhere else. Cause it's just how they devote themselves to different things. Like Lando is like extremely like focused, like no nonsense stuff about design and that. And then he's always quite chilled and happy when he's not at work, which I think is quite a good mix to have as well. Some of them are like full throttle all the time. Some are just chill throughout the whole way. It's always really interesting to see how they are from work to pleasure and then back to work, I guess, when they're in the car. That's the other way from that. I think you've got more personality, I'd say, than ever before, minus Kimi Raikkonen. I think if you had him in there, you had the most diverse one.
I don't think
they'll actually let a driver be like him ever again. I just don't think it'll happen.
Yeah.
Just with how sponsor oriented it is now and how global appeared. I think if you were like Kimi Raikkonen,
you'd have to trade.
You just have no chance.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. I love Kimi.
Love
Kimi.
But I like to think as well, where social media's opened everything up, you know, these drivers we are seeing their genuine characters as much as we can. Because of course, like, they're going to have a wall up, but you know, when they're discussing designs with you, like, and being creative and doing something, I'm sure, like, if a driver wants lots of different designs, they must be invested. Like, we know Lando's got a bit of a background in design himself. Like, you know, it must be nice to kind of interact with these guys in something that isn't just, you know, you're not worried about getting caught out in the media by saying stuff and being misconstrued or whatever.
Allowing you to,
you can just be passionate about
exactly the normal person. Like, you'll hear them say, like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, this is shit. And it's like, it's refreshing. Like, you never get to see that bit about it, and they'll say from there. So
savage,
exactly. This makes me do my job, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
My entire job, job, I would say, is 80% me fucking up or getting lucky sometimes.
That sounds like design to me.
It literally
like,
is. Design
like my job as well, to be fair.
Literally, your entire job is like criticism. You have to take it the right way.
Yeah.
Like the chance of you doing something right first time and getting approved is like absolutely zero. If it is, then you just take that as a godsend, really.
Yeah, I was going to say that really, having worked in a design agency before, that's very
exactly. It just doesn't does not happen.
Yeah. No.
If it does, go and get the lottery numbers right now, because it's like the luckiest day of your life.
Right, should we wrap up with the old do you want to explain to the listeners and explain to, well, I'm sure you said you've watched 19 of these episodes.
I have.
So you're still catching up.
I've seen the last two.
How dare you?
Anything new? I missed out on it then.
But yeah, what's this section of the pod to round out, Niren?
Well, so ladies and gentlemen, this is Equal Machinery. Have you ever thought like machinery, the way of pronouncing it, machinery?
Machinery.
Machinery.
I mean, not till now.
Yeah,
machinery.
Machinima. I was going to say. So welcome to Equal Machinery. This is the segment at the end of the pod, basically, where we are allocated drivers each by our lovely producer, Lewis. He gave me a little wave. I was like, I feel rude not giving him back. Basically, we're all allocated a driver, and we have to argue or convince everyone else in the room. The driver we have been allocated would win in Equal Machinery. Obviously, the three of us today, so we've got three drivers. And then at the end, we had to chat amongst ourselves and work out whether we actually mean it or not.
Okay, so I've been allocated, and I'm assuming this isn't Bruno, Ayrton Senna. You've been allocated, I'm assuming not Jos Verstappen, Max Verstappen.
Right, okay,
and Miles, you've been allocated, I'm assuming not Mick, but Michael Schumacher.
This is a bit easy for me.
Oh, it's gay.
I am a Schumi fanboy.
There we go. He's pre-planned this.
I'm Max Verstappen, yeah?
You're Max Verstappen.
Okay, so next week we need to do the other version.
Yeah.
Bruno Senna versus Jos Verstappen.
Versus Ralph Schumacher.
Yeah, Ralph.
That's nice.
David Schumacher.
He's still in like Formula 3, isn't he?
He's still about. Fair enough, man.
I think so.
He's DTM, isn't he? I think he's doing
it. Is he a good DTM now? DTM. Oh, okay, there you go.
So, as
you're so confident, Miles, we're going to start with you, mate. So let me get the timer up. You've got one minute to sell Michael Schumacher as better in prime than Max Verstappen.
Yeah, but Max isn't in his prime yet. That's one question you got.
Yeah, but that is as prime as we know.
Are we defining last year Max being prime?
If you think that was his prime year, I mean, it's hard to.
It definitely is, but that's the best one so far to go off, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
See, the way that Michael went about racing and the test and dedication to it, like you'd argue what he did completely transformed how drivers are now. Like all the fitness and that and the dedication to testing. And you saw it on track, I think his best season arguably was 97, 98, where he took a car that was at one point nearly 2 seconds the pace and then took it to the final round. I mean, people are like, they go on about Fernando's 2012 season. And then I just raised Michael in that area of how damn good he was and just had no right to put that car where it was. And it was like no surprise almost when he absolutely dominated those seasons in 2000, 2004. I still reckon he's like the greatest of all time as a package. If he was putting him down as the greatest of all time, I'd probably vote for that.
Oh, I didn't even need it.
Didn't even need to talk about this.
47.99 seconds.
Yeah. And it was very convincing as well. I'm not going to lie.
That's somebody.
That was said with purpose. That was said with.
That was from there.
When it comes naturally to you. There's no waffle.
Yeah, no waffle.
Let us try to explain why Pastor Maldonado is the greatest of all time.
You should have done something like that.
We have. Don't worry.
You should have done something like Sean Galland to get to F1 or something like that. You should have said something like that.
Man, what a hero. AFC man himself.
He was entertaining, though.
He was
entertaining.
Yeah, he was.
To be fair, though, banging lids. Yeah, like, really. His lid game is fire.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I did one that was a pure like Nike Jordan helmet, which was like amazing. Oh, looked really, really good. And in the KFC bucket as well as a troll on himself, which is fantastic.
Oh, big
like, honestly,
that.
Check his lids are like proper good. He's like, got really good lid game.
Got to compensate for.
I have to check that out. Right, come on then. Max Verstappen. No, right, you're going next. Yeah, you're going next. I have the power.
Okay.
You ready?
All right, cool.
Go.
Now, see, obviously you spoke about how Michael Schumacher had revolutionized some of the fitness stuff and the mentality of Formula One. Max Verstappen has revolutionized the fact that you can get into Formula One without even having a driver's license. This guy got into F1 crazy age. He came in. Carlos Sainz, who was an extremely good driver as well at Toro Rosso, came in and at the age of like, what, 17, 18, was giving him a run for his money. Then jumps in a Red Bull. First race, boom, wins in Spain. Last year, absolutely dominant. I mean, we're talking like a, what, was it 200-point lead over Sergio Perez?
Yeah.
Who we know is obviously a very good driver, like a tire whisperer, someone who always extracts the maximum out of his car, yeah, and he slapped him by 200 points. Do you understand how wild that is? Beating Lewis Hamilton, arguably slightly better Mercedes, that half lap of the gods that almost got in Saudi Arabia, but then... Okay, all right, fair enough.
But then he crashed.
Yeah, he crashed, yeah. But I didn't say that bit within the minute, so it's fine. It didn't happen. That's why you leave that bit to the end.
Okay, not bad. Okay,
yeah,
not
it was all right. It was a bit of waffle. I spoke about Toro Rosso too much. I don't know why I even started.
Yeah,
that.
Sometimes you get carried away.
I got carried away with the driver's license thing, and then...
Well, imagine this... that wins a race, can't do a reverse around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Can't parallel park.
Well, look. Ayrton Senna didn't only captivate a nation, but he captivated all of F1. He is considered by many the greatest of all time for a reason. He drove, you talk about Michael Schumacher being a trailblazer, but Ayrton came in with such a natural gift. And in terms of on pace, for sure, you can argue about the complete package, and Michael offered a lot, but Ayrton Senna, for a natural gift in a racing car to drive it. You've seen the video of him driving that NSX around Suzuka, by the way. That the way that he, when he went around Interlagos, he only had fourth gear and he could barely, he was like collapsing on the podium. This man drove with complete and utter, like, there was an intuition, an instinct behind his driving that you could argue has never, ever been replicated, because it just came so naturally to him coming through where he came through to take over F1 and still be revered in the way he is as well. I think says a lot about Senna being the greatest of all time.
That was good.
That was good.
1 minute. Yeah. That was well timed.
I actually looked at the clock this time. You're back over now.
All right. So if we're talking for real, what are we saying?
You seem very confident.
Yeah, I'm not changing.
I don't, yeah.
I knew that was from the heart. I feel like you're half convinced. I feel like you were 30% convinced at the start, and then you started talking and you got to 50% by the time you'd finished a minute.
So, look, I think there's my one caveat with Schumacher is those instances with Hill, with Villeneuve, where I think he undermines the ability that he had to act, like, imagine if that happened in this day and age, like a title fight. Like, we saw how, you know, polarizing it was.
Abu Dhabi.
And that Max did nothing wrong.
Didn't even play the card.
Yeah, he played the hand. Yeah,
the only thing that gets close would be, you probably maybe argue Saudi Arabia, if you would believe that he brake test or not. That's the only thing that would come close.
Yeah.
The way I can't say you could argue like, that. If you take those, Schumacher, yeah, we're 100% completely guilty of those. Like, you can't, that's just a complete a blonde copybook at 100%. It's when you as well, you then go back to what Senna's done as well. You got to bring in the one with Senna, like Suzuki. You can't take that away. Like, I'd arguably say that was worse, because it was literally just full intent. I'm just going to take this guy out straight away.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, this is what that whole conversation at Saudi. It's all about intent and what you think the driver was thinking, because, you know, there's different ways you could look at that Verstappen thing. Like, he's just frustrated. He just wants Lewis to get past, and he just slows down. He's just like, get past it. Or he's like maliciously trying to, oh, where's Lewis? I'm going to slam on the brakes now. You know, that's a decision that we all make as fans, to like look at that and then choose to, do we choose to believe the driver? Do we choose to like see them through the most cynical or the most optimistic eyes?
Yeah, I guess.
I think on that, it wasn't deliberate.
I don't think it was.
It was more the send than how tired I said. That was more deliberate. Like, he was never making that.
That was desperation.
Yeah. But he was cracking.
Again, is this just part of what it... what happens when you're at the top? I think, you know,
when it gets to that crunch time, at the end of the day, all three are like insanely ruthless. They will win at all costs it may.
Ruthlessness
which
is
why,
yeah.
Which
yeah,
is why
yeah,
they're such yeah. brilliant drivers in the game, why they've got so many fans, and why we have to then talk about them.
Yeah. Three most ruthless of all time. Exactly. Yeah. For sure.
Because whatever stands in my way, I will win.
Yeah.
It does not matter what. It's like needs to be
exactly.
Done.
Yeah, it's like, I've always back Schumacher to the hill, but then I'll go the bits that he did. Like I could say Monaco was the worst one. That was just so dumb and stupid parking it like that. When he could have qualified second, he would have won the title on countback. You look back and I think, wow, that was so dumb. Why did you do that?
But that's
the worst case. You were starting second. You were going to just follow Fernando home and get a load of points rather than follow Bruce Barrichello the whole entire race and finish seventh or whatever.
That's what's difficult to, like, you know, when Fernando, like, especially, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, when he, you know, we kept talking about, what was it? I think it was at Sochi when he like cut the corner and he did it like strategically to get through. Like, I think most people like applauded that, and it's like, oh yeah, he's playing the game to support, like, to help himself out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then a driver, you know, like Schumacher, when he parked it at Monaco, you know, is that, and it gets a bit of a grey area, you know what I mean? And it's like, there's kind of part of it that's Rosberg frustrating.
As well.
Yeah, Rosberg did the same thing. Yeah. And it's like, it's that balancing act of, you know, top tier sport, you know, you always on the edge of legality.
Exactly, yeah. I think you put it down as ruthlessness compared to sporting fairness. I think there's that fine line of how ruthless you are to then you are literally just taking the piss.
Yeah.
And I think all three are very guilty of ruthlessness
on that line
of all time, easy.
And then like
done.
Step over it in terms of like,
You know, part
we should
of
have had a fourth one and put Hamilton in there, and it would really make sense.
Jesus Christ, that's an accident waiting to happen.
That was just literally the comments would just be like, just turn them off.
Yeah.
Because Verstappen's come through the most recent generation. It's like when people compare Maradona to Messi. Well, Messi's come through this generation where, you know, nutrition and all of that is like top. Maradona was like going out all the time and he wasn't like treating his body well.
Yeah.
So if you literally put them two together, it wouldn't really be a fair contest because you're comparing different generations, I guess. And like you said, Schumacher was the first to kind of pioneer. I think
you're going to have to hop off the fence at some point.
Oh, man, I don't know. That's what I mean, I don't know. It's just like, there's a good argument for any of them. I'd probably say for impact on the sport, I think you made a really good point in terms of like legacy and Schumacher being the first to really take that stuff seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably say Schumacher as well.
I'm in a situation where, like, obviously for me, Max Verstappen has just not been around long enough. I don't think for me to go the prime. If we look at the prime as being last season, then obviously it was really dominant. But like when you look at people like Schumacher and Senna, there's also that longevity element as well. That longevity argument that they were in their prime for a crazy amount. I mean, Schumacher's prime was his entire career, it felt like, until he came back afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, realistically. So, I feel like... Oh, man, I actually don't know as well. I've just told you. I think I would probably go with Schumacher, but my heart wants to go with Senna.
But I think Max, for sure, if he carries on this trajectory, I think... Given how early he started, I think he's got the 100%. He's got
say the minerals.
Potential.
Say the minerals. For being the, you like, want to say the minerals, don't you?
Yeah. He's got the minerals.
You know me too well.
Yeah.
But also, actually, funnily enough, you know his Red Bull deal ends at the end of 2028. He just signed a deal with Heineken till the end of 2028.
Mm-hmm.
Retirement.
He's sacking it off. Not in 2028.
I can see him being the realistic one that will do the Triple Crown.
Because he started
doing ovals.
Yeah. Because he started so early. That's the thing. If he retired in 2028, he'd still have, you know, double figure F1 career. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is a really good long time. Yeah. So he could go do Indy, could do Le Mans. Like he's talked about this. So I actually wouldn't be surprised at all.
Mm-hmm.
But because as much as I think we get, especially as F1 fans, we get attached to F1, but actually it's motorsport. That's the sport. Mm. The sport is motorsport. F1 is just a type. It's like the Premier League versus the league. Like, yeah. It's just a different type of that sport.
So what you're saying is Yuki Tsunoda only has to hang on until 2028.
And he'll get that
he'll
seat.
Get that Red Bull seat.
Come on, Yuki.
Come on, Yuki.
He has to beat De Vries this year first.
He's got to do that first. Yeah. Then. Any big predictions before we round up Mars for this year? Any strong thoughts you've got around this season?
I think Merck will win a constructor title.
Yeah.
I think the title will be decided with two races to go.
Oh, this is quite specific.
It is, yeah.
And yeah. I think...
Will it be one of
Of the older drivers will retire at another season.
Okay. But will it be one of your lidded drivers who wins?
No, who wins the championship.
No, wins the championship.
Oh, wins the championship.
Will we see...
I'd like to say that.
It's gonna be Astri. I mean,
Logan Sargeant,
nowhere.
I'd like to see George win it, to be fair, but
maybe one day.
They have the biggest leap to do, I'd argue, say. Even though they were caught at the end of the season, you got to imagine like Red Bull and Ferrari have had a year head start, pretty much.
Yeah.
Refining their concept. If Ferrari, they're saying, had their engine tuned out most of the last season, you're basically sticking on free pace with that. And then Red Bull, it came out like the other day that Honda had some reliability issues and they fixed in them as well.
So yeah, true.
I'd like to see it happen, but I think if you're going against Max's form at the minute, you'd be pretty stupid, really.
Yeah, just hopefully the cost cap starts doing its job.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to add something onto our last, but you know, this is about primes and everything to define a person's legacy.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you, like Max's is too early, because I actually reckon by the time he gets to the end of his contract, in this contract, he'll probably have been against the most competitive rivals that you'll have seen over an era. Like, I'm not even trying to blow our own drivers up out their own arses. It's just, you've got Lewis in the Mercedes, you've got George in the Mercedes, you've got Leclerc in a Ferrari, you've got Sainz who's not that far behind him in a Ferrari. If Lando gets a shot, he can win a world title.
Yeah.
You've got so many more drivers, I feel, than Senna and Schumacher's era that can take them off him. Like, in Jorge Schumacher's era, he had, Hakkinen, Raikkonen, Montoya. We're at the three, and then Fernando at the end of it.
Yeah.
So you got like four over the span of his career, which is 13 years, basically from there. And then once you got like Senna, probably those like three, you'd have like Prost, Mansell, maybe
Lauda,
maybe but that's out of his career. Say two. You probably say like, Mansell was good, but he was never as complete as Prost, and he was his main rival.
Yeah.
So when you get to like Max, he's got like literally six other drivers which can give him a proper run for his money for
you
it.
You can only race against who's there.
I think if you revisit this in like 6 years' time, and then you'll see how the results are gone, then you'll have a better picture of like how good like this era. I think this is the best era of F1.
Yeah, in terms of driver quality.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
Yeah, and I think when you speak to people in the know, they say the same thing, just because the standard is just...
And they're all they're all so young, it's like insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild actually, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, you've got your Lewis's and stuff, and even Fernando Alonso as well. Obviously, he's going to be an Aston Martin next season, so you wouldn't imagine he'll be challenging.
Fernando's going to be here until he's a skeleton.
he's going to be here until he's 60.
He's just going to carry on going around, and he just loves
it. But everyone else is just so youthful, so it's exciting.
Mad. We'll wrap it there. Miles, thanks so much for joining, man.
Thanks for having me.
Proper fun conversation. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
that was good.
And thank you for gifting us this.
Yeah, we can keep this
helmet,
right?
That we can now keep, right?
For sure. Yes, Mercedes. I will pass the details on. You can deal with them.
We'll just take a like PNG of it and just have
with the squares background.
PNG. But check Miles out. MDMdesigns.co.uk.
MDM-designs. Don't forget the hyphen.
Don't forget the hyphen. And what about on socials? Where can everyone?
Socials, Twitter and Instagram is MDM_designs. Because someone nicked the whole word when I set it up. That was like, 12 years ago. Someone missed the boat on the website and that. So I had to do the dash and the hyphen. Yeah.
But also, just because you design helmets for F1 drivers doesn't mean you can't design helmets for anyone who, gets in touch.
Karting, single seaters, touring cars, whatever.
Yeah. So if you're needing anything.
No, I love your work and thank you so much for coming.
I send you a percentage of it if you say on
it. If I'm really nice to you, then I'm hoping I'll just add a percent each time to my discount,
All prices are now £10,000 to fund them. I have to pay them.
Inflation. thank you everyone for watching. Thank you for joining us today. If you're audio only, then again, check the video version of this out on YouTube, because then you can see
beautiful George Russell
in the flesh. Where else can they find us?
radio and a helmet.
Yeah.
There we go. Exactly. Where else can they find us?
So as Tara mentioned, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. If you are audio only, if you're watching on YouTube, then like and subscribe, of course, so you don't miss anything from the Last Lap podcast. The live shows, of course, will be coming back soon-ish. Oh,
very soon.
Soon. Can't wait for that as well, for the start of the new season. But yeah, you can also find us on...
Where are they finding us this week now?
They can find us in the back of the newspaper ad section.
Okay. Argos.
Yeah, Argos catalogue. Yeah. It was a 5-star rating on the Argos catalogue.
It works that way, does it? I'm sure it works like that, Argos.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. I'm pretty sure.
Coffee, ask for a...
Yeah.
Grande last lap.
Yeah, and on...
And they'll throw one of these at you.
Yeah, exactly. And on Deliveroo as well, because there's a 5-star rating on Deliveroo. You see the podcast over there. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time. Adios.
See ya.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.